I often think about grief. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, and there's a scene, the book after Harry Potter's godfather passes away, and he goes back to school, and literally, like, he's stepping foot on campus, and he realizes that he can see these creatures that actually guide the carriages that lead them up to school. And he can't understand why no one else can see these things and why he never was able to see them before. And this new friend of his, who I love, Luna, she's like, oh, because someone close to you passed away, you can now see them. And I think about it like that. Like, when my friends have someone who passed away, I'm like, fuck, welcome to the club you never wanted to be a part of. Like, this sucks. And now you are experiencing life in a new way. And you're seeing something that you didn't see before because this thing happened. And, like, I just feel this, like, need to be there for people when that happens, because it just sucks so much and you feel really alone.
This week, I'm speaking with someone who I'm very excited for you all to get to know. You're meeting a good friend of mine who has been my friend for just about 9 years. She has made me family and made me realize a whole bunch of things about myself and my place in the world. To be honest, I owe her a lot. When she and I met, I was brand new to the city, brand new to the organization, and pretty young in general. We hesitantly got to know each other at work, and then over the course of a few talks, decided to go out for happy hour. And just know that everything can be solved during happy hour. World peace, job problems, family problems, you name it. I'm sure you get the point. But anyway, we went to happy hour, and after a couple of drinks, we had this very straightforward conversation. I want to be friends with you. Do you want to be friends with me? And 9 years later, here we are. Over the course of getting to know her and tons of happy hours, I learned a lot about her family. I even got to meet some of them. But there's one person I didn't get to meet. Her dad. This is Sorry to Hear That, a podcast for people trying to understand grief and loss. I'm CJ Williams.
My name is Darcy, and I'm here to talk about my dad, William.
I'm so excited for you to get to meet Darcy. And she's going to talk about her dad, William. Or as I know him, Willie Moe. Because remember, because I've only known her for 9 years, her dad has actually been gone as of this month for 10. So he's someone that kind of only exists for me in Darcy's memory and in the way that she brings him alive. I think it's important for you to know and me to reflect on that I didn't do a good job as Darcy's friend in asking her about her dad. What I did do a good job, though, is whenever Darcy wanted to talk about her dad, I was here for it. And so this conversation with Darcy about her dad is really both sad because I failed as a friend and happy because I'm reflecting on the things that we did talk about and an opportunity to look forward to the future. Darcy's dad, William, or Willie Moe, he died from prostate cancer. Prostate cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, pancreatic cancer. Cancer sucks. And he fought it for a very long time.
I told myself I wasn't going to cry, and I already feel like I'm going to cry. So it's my father. His name's William. We call him Willie Moe now, post his death, which is really funny because I think that was his Hotmail or Yahoo email address. And now it's become his nickname. But yeah, we're going to talk about William.
When did you lose him? How long ago?
It'll be 10 years in July. So it was July 16th, 2010.
Wow. This is like side note. I totally met you like the next year.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I didn't know that.
It's so funny. I think about friendships in terms of before he died and after he died now, and who actually physically knew him as a person and who knows him from my memories now. I just think about like people's relationship to him as they know me versus their relationship to him as they knew him in person, right? So like people who know him after his death, who met me after his death, know the wonderful things that I loved about him. And people who knew him before understand that he, and I think this happens to most people, like they understand the complexities of who he was as a human being because they had their own personal relationships with him, even if they think that he was just as wonderful as my friends who met him after. But I do think that the people who I met after his death, they're very shaded by who he was because they know me and the things that I have to say about him. Because I think sometimes I forget like who actually knew him in person and who knew him because they met me after. And I also think about how people honor him when they don't know him, but they know me. So they want to honor me and my memory of him.
Why do you think they do that?
So it started when I started graduate school, which is 2 years after he passed away. And I remember I was up in Cambridge and like had just started school and the date of his birthday was coming up. And these new people, this makes me want to cry. These new people who I just met were like, are you okay? Like you're acting kind of different. And I was like, oh, like we're coming up on the death of or the birthday of my father. And one of them looked at me and they were like, well, what do you want to do? What do you normally do? I was like, normally we have pizza and beer. Like that's what we do to celebrate him. Like that's what he liked. And they're like, all right, let's do that. And it was just so like kind of them to honor that and that memory. And we didn't really talk about him. Like, I think I said a few words and that was it. But like, they knew that he was so important to me and they had just met me. And they wanted to like honor that and our experience together at school, which had just started. And it's why like, you have a full year with people in graduate school and all these things happen. You're like, we're super close. But I'm like, damn, that's when I felt like I could have a close relationship with someone again. And it'd be a really quick thing that happens too, because we're like away from our family and friends and like forming new relationships. And they're like willing to honor this person who they never knew. It's funny, summer 2002, probably July sometime, I can't remember the exact date, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it was the summer between my sophomore and junior year of college. And he basically like, he told me like, I'm gonna fight this, like, I'm gonna be here forever. I was like, great, like, cool. Because I think at first I had made the decision that I wasn't gonna go back to school. And I was going to stay home. He was like, stay home and do what? Like, what would you do if you stayed home? I'm like, I don't know. I'll take care of you. And he's like, that's what doctors are for. Like, what are you talking about? So I went back to school. And I remember when I graduated, my sister said that he basically cried the whole time. And I think that was like the first marker for him, like, I made it this far and I'm gonna make it like this, like, what's the next marker that I will make in my children's lives? And so I think my graduation in a lot of ways was like his first marker. It's the one thing that I feel like I've learned about adulthood that's hard is like our parents, they still want to shield us and protect us, and so they'll tell us whatever makes us feel better, regardless of how old they are or how old we are. I was home for about a year. I was working. Things seemed okay. But my parents started to make interesting decisions after that year. I ended up moving out and living with friends. But I noticed that we lived in a house. And they were making decisions about selling, which I was like, we've been in this house forever. Like, why would you sell? And I didn't realize it until later that it was sort of the way my dad was protecting my mom from having to care for this home post him not being here. And they moved to an apartment. I always thought he was fine. He always seemed like he was in good spirits. He would like drive himself to his own appointments. He was getting chemo probably every 3 weeks. He at one point probably had radiation. He was still working like pretty regularly. He had great health insurance, and my mom had great health insurance. And they my dad had great support from the union. He worked for the post office, which
is amazing.
Yeah. And he had worked for the union side for a while. So I think those guys always kind of looked out for him. But at one point I noticed that like he was feeling really sick after treatments and couldn't go back to his regular schedule. And he was getting a lot of flack from like leadership. And, you know, it makes sense. Like your supervisor, there was just a lot. And so I think my dad was like almost forced to retire. And I remember my sister had a baby in 2008. And my dad was home. And I think that was the second marker. Like my sister getting married and then having a baby was kind of like the second marker for him of like, I made it this far to see my daughter have both get married and have a child, which is amazing. And he loved being a grandfather. Like, God, he like loved it. Shortly after that, my mom retired. And it was really strange because my dad would do this thing where he'd be in and out the hospital. And one day he like went into the hospital and she basically was like, I'm not going back to work. And I was like, what? Like, it was so weird. She basically like retired, but never went back into the office to get her stuff. And was like, I want to spend like your dad's last years with him.
Yeah.
She was like, I don't want to worry about work. I was like, okay. That's kind of when it was like, shit got real. Like, you know, I think at that point, like, he had been trying a bunch of treatments. He had been bounced around to some different doctors. Because they were trying to make sure that, like, a treatment would work. And I think she just kind of knew. I think she just, like, really knew. And they like, never really... I think that's when my sister and I realized, like, oh, shit. Like, he was never really in remission. Like, even if they made it sound like he was, like, he probably wasn't ever. It was weird because every time I would, like, plan a trip to go somewhere, I'd be like on my trip and they'd be calling me to tell me that he was like admitted into the hospital again. And so I had all this guilt whenever I went away that like that was going like, oh my God, like something's gonna happen. And I think I don't remember when he got really bad. I think it kind of just, I think about a lot like when someone's sick and like it takes a long time or what could be a long time. But when you're in it, you're like, oh, this can go on for longer. Like, great. Like, they're still here. And then suddenly it gets really fucking shitty. And it's like you run out of time very quickly. So I don't know when the switch was, when he was like kind of okay to him going to the hospital a lot. And just in my mind, he doesn't look as skinny as he was when he passed away. But when I look at pictures, I'm like, holy shit, he was frail. Like, he was really frail. I just can't remember when that happened. For me, the switch was probably April of the year that he passed away. He was admitted to the hospital and they had to intubate him. He couldn't even talk, nothing. He was like in a coma or some weird state. I didn't even understand. And I remember being in the hospital being like, is this it? You know, like asking the doctor that, and the doctor being like, I can't tell you that. And I'm like, motherfucker, like, I just need to know. Like, and I understand that like doctors can't tell you that, but I just remember it was a lot to see him in that state and to see him so vulnerable and not know if like that was the end. Woke up a couple of days after or something like that. And he was pretty, I remember him being chatty, but like having a hoarse voice because he had all that stuff, right? But like you could tell he was kind of preparing because he was saying to me, like, you have to be there for your mom. Like, you have to take her grocery shopping if she needs you. I remember thinking, holy fuck, like this, he knows, like he knows something that we don't. And I need to like take this a little bit more seriously. I know he was at Sloan Kettering at one point. He was at his regular doctor for a while. He did get surgery at some point. He did a lot. He did a lot to stay with us.
How does that make you feel? Like, that's an impactful statement. He did a lot to stay with us. How does that make you feel? Because he's still lost.
I appreciate the fact that he did. I mean, I felt really young when he passed away. Because I was the first in my friend group to lose a parent. And I was only 28. And my sister had the reverse. Like, she had had friends who had already lost a parent. And so, on the one hand, I was super grateful for the time that I had with him. And then on the other hand, I was also thinking about the fact that, like, my dad had his dad for a lot longer than I was going to have my dad. And I was, you know, I'm always a little jealous when people's parents are 70, 80, 90. I'm like, damn, like, you are so lucky. But I also feel grateful for the time that I had with him because I do recognize that there are some people who lose their parents at a much younger age. So I appreciate the fact that my dad, he did whatever he did what he needed to do so that, you know, he could see enough of my adult life and my sister's adult life.
So in April 2010, he goes to the hospital. He's intubated, so things aren't good, but he recovers.
Recovers is like a, I don't know that was like really, he was here. And I remember my sister and I having a conversation where it was like, he'll make it to mom's birthday. He likely won't make it to your birthday, Darcy. I remember like having this conversation and being like super aware that like he was holding on. Again, it was like those markers, right? Like he was holding on for those kinds of things. And my mom's birthday and Father's Day is relatively close together. So I at least knew that like he might still be around for Father's Day, which was nice. So 4th of July, I remember I was, again, I was away for a wedding and I got word that he was like admitted to the hospital again. I didn't really know what was happening. And like, I think July 5th or something, we got back on the road to come back home. And when I got home, I realized that like my mom and my dad had made arrangements for him to do hospice care at home. Mm-hmm. So I like went to their house. I went to go see my dad. My mom and I had a discussion about like, you know, it could take a week or it could take 6 months. Like, we don't know, you know, that's what the nurses said. And I was like, okay. She was like, you know, your dad would just want you to like go about life normal. And, you know, when he passes, it's like, okay, like, I don't even know what that means. Like, this is so weird. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I've never done this before. And my birthday was on a Sunday. And so I think my friends, my boyfriend at the time was not my husband. He was like, let's go out. Like, let's just, you know, enjoy some time out. And I wasn't really talking to my friends about what was happening. I think a lot of them didn't really understand what was actually happening. Like, they knew my dad was sick. They knew that he was in and out the hospital, that this was something that I was dealing with in my life, but they didn't know at that point how bad it was. And so we went out, I had a couple of drinks. I think I started crying. I think it was just like a lot. It was like a whole bunch of things. And the next day, or maybe that was a Friday. And then Saturday, I was like home And I was scheduled to leave for on my birthday, on the Sunday, to go to a work trip, like a conference. And my job was like, you know, you don't have to go. My friends are like, you don't have to go. And I was like, well, this is the thing about my dad, is like, he always wanted us to live our lives, to, you know, do the things that make us excited. So I'm just going to go. I'm going to trust. Like, I'm just going to go. And so the last time I talked to my dad was on my birthday. It's funny. Like, I think when he hit hospice care, he wasn't talking too much. So I think I just said, like, I love you. And that was, like, all I had to say. I just remember he was, like, very, like, he was, like, looking around at everything and just taking it all in. But I don't actually remember him talking. I just remember him watching and just looking, like, intensely at things and, like, just taking it all in. In my mom and dad's apartment, for some reason, from wherever he was, I think in their bedroom, the door was open and I was having sushi on the balcony in their balcony, which is off their living room. And I could see him, like, just looking and, like, just watching intensely. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't know, that, like, memory is so ingrained in my head. Yeah, and then I basically went away, and the Friday that I scheduled to come back home, he passed away, which, like, very early in the morning. I wasn't scheduled for, like, an afternoon flight, so I was just, like, stuck in Florida, like, at a conference with people who did not know me. I was the only one from my organization who went, so I was, like, by myself, and every time we had a break, I would call, like, either my sister or my boyfriend at the time, was now my husband. But I just remember, like, not being home. It's funny because I'm like, if I had stayed home, like, what would I have done that whole week? Like, would I have gone to work? Like, I probably would have still gone to work. So it's like one of those things where, like, I don't regret the decision at all. I think some people would. I don't. I believe that, like, you know, our spirits are around after we pass away. So, like, I did wake up in the middle of the morning, I think. If I were to, like, confirm the time with my mom, I probably woke up in a hotel room at the time that he was passing away. So I don't feel like I was far. That's, like, the weird thing. I don't know what I would have done had I stayed. It would have been the same thing had I stayed.
This is, like, a very random question, but when you think about your dad, like, when you think about what your dad looked like or looks like, what do you envision? Because you didn't see him when he died. So that's, like, one version. But what do you think about when, like, for example, if you dream about him, for example, like, what does he look like? Does he look sick? Is he healthy? Like, what does he look
like? No, he looks healthy. That's, like, the funny thing. He looks like healthy Willie, like, with his thick mustache. And, like, you know, his big old smile and his, like, full flock of hair. And then when I see pictures of him, I remember afterwards, maybe a year or so after, I found a picture of him from Father's Day, I think it was, of 2010. And he was, like, bald. He looked so old. He looked like an old man, and he was only 56. And I don't remember that in the moment. Like, I think even in the moment, I didn't picture him like that. Like, I still pictured him as this, like, healthy dude with his big old mustache. But, like, that's not what he looked like at all.
So your dad dies. You're stuck in Florida. You're coming back.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about on the plane?
I remember, it's funny, I remember, like, all day trying to figure out how to tell people that he had passed away, because I didn't want people to feel bad for me because I wasn't home. And so I remember I had my laptop. I had my BlackBerry, I think, because this is back in the day.
Yes. Yeah, everything.
I had a BlackBerry because people could BBM me. But I remember talking to my now husband and being like, look, I'm going to send an email to some folks and then I'm just going to shut everything off and I'll see you at the airport. And he was like, all right. So I sent this email, like literally as in the airport waiting to get on the plane. And I sent this email to a bunch of people, like a few friends. And I was just like, I actually don't remember what I wrote in the email. I bet if I look, I could find it. But it was probably something like, you know, he finally passed away. If you have questions, call Maseo. And like, I just shut everything off. And when I got to New York, I guess my family had arranged, and I think, you know, my now husband, he like wanted to pick me up, which was great. And so he came to the airport, and he was like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I really want to have a drink. Like, I want to see my mom and I want to see my sister. And then I just really want to have a drink. And so we went to see my sister and my mom. And then we literally went to the bar and his best friend showed up and my best friend showed up. And I remember, like, I don't know that I cried. I just like needed the release of being around them. And like trying to figure out, like, now what? Like, and luckily, like, when my dad went into hospice, my mom, I think the hospice care place was like, you should do arrangements now. Like, don't wait. You already know that he's going to pass away. Like, just make the arrangements you need to make so that all you have to do is notify them. Like, you don't want to have to deal with that after he passes. So there wasn't planning. Like, literally, my dad passed away on a Friday. And by Sunday, we were at a funeral home for his wake. And on Monday, we were at the church service. And that was it. And it was just, like, super quick. And people were, again, surprise.
I guess I've never really thought about it. Like, if somebody's in hospice, and technically, like, hospice is, like, in a way, like, a point of no return.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's sort of a scary thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never connected that before. I've never really experienced hospice, but, like, I've heard people talk about it. And, yeah, like, you don't recover from hospice.
Yeah.
So whether it's 2 weeks or 2 days or 2 years doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah. I see myself and my dad a lot, especially as I get older. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, that's the thing. My dad liked to curse. Like, I liked to, you know, he was kind of quiet, but also like extroverted with people that he really loved and cared about. And he was like kind of spicy. And like, I just see myself in him. And I think, you know, especially when I'm around my friends and family, my dad could be really unassuming, but like really loved hanging out with people. And I think I think I'm a lot like that. And I like to hang out with my friends. I think I like to be around people in the same way that my dad did, people that he like cared about and like loved and felt comfortable with. So,
yeah, it's interesting. Like, remember, I don't know your dad. He sounds like a really cool guy, right? Like, just sort of in general. But of course, like, as you said before, like, I really knew him sort of through you and like the way that you sort of interacted with the world. And so like, as I'm listening, I'm like, oh, so I would have met like a like male Darcy. That's dope.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I'm here for it. Like, that's awesome.
And I love to hear people talk about him. Like, I like to hear that you think that. And then I like to hear when my friends talk about the experiences that they had with him, like the people who knew him before he passed away. So even at his funeral, my sorority sister showed up and it was the first time I cried, like at the funeral, because I was like, these people were there when he was diagnosed. They were there that whole first year when I was struggling to figure out like my feelings around him being diagnosed and being far from home, but also close. Like, I was close enough, but like, it was for them to show up for me, but I also felt like they were showing up for him. That was so much. Like, it's interesting when I start to think about the relationships that my friends had with him, even if it was like a relationship that they had with him because of me, but also that they felt like I reminded them so much of him when we hang out and we're together. I think a lot of people make the assumption that once you lose someone, you don't want to talk about them anymore. So they don't talk about that person. I wish people would talk about him more, even if it makes them sad, because like the memories are important. And I learned something new about my dad whenever people talk about him. Like I've been spending more time with my aunt and uncle before all this pandemic stuff. We were always very close, but I feel like in the past 2 years, we've become closer. And like, I have ideas about what his favorite songs were, but to hear them talk about it is different from when my mom talks about it or my sister talks about it. And so I wish people would talk about him more. I wish that they had talked about him more when he passed away, even if it was hard to do. Because so much about grief is that solitary feeling that we have, but really it's also the communal feeling that we all have when we've lost someone. So people are really quick to like not want to talk about the person. Or when people don't know what to say, they don't want to bring it up because they don't want to make you feel sad. And I'm like, I'm already sad. Like, let's talk about him and let's talk about the happy things. Like, it doesn't only have to be about him dying and what happened. I would love to hear what people have to say about him. I wish people took advantage of that more. But I understand, you know, people deal with grief in different ways, and people who don't know me or don't know him may not want to bring it up versus, you know, people who I know very intimately may think, oh, this will make her sad. So I don't want to say anything. But I remember I posted, I don't know if it was last Father's Day or the Father's Day before that. I think I like on Instagram posted, like, I wish people would ask me about him. Like, that's what I think sometimes is missing in the grief process, because again, people don't want to make you sad. But I wish people would ask, like, oh, what do you think your dad would say about your career now? Or, you know, what do you think he would say about the state of the world? Because I think I would have some pretty funny things to say that he would have said. But I think sometimes when you like bring up the person who's passed away, other people get super awkward and they kind of just want to like brush off the conversation or rush you through it instead of like digging in and talking about it. Or like, maybe they think asking questions is insensitive, but I sometimes wish some people, not everybody, I don't want like a random stranger asking me about my dad, but like if it's someone who I have, even if it's a new friendship with, like, I think I'd be open to having that conversation. And maybe that's what my graduate school friends did, is they like opened the door to try to understand who this person was and this person, who he was in my life, and getting to know him. I think about like my last conversation with him, and I'm like, I should have said more. And that's something that I hope people understand, is that it doesn't matter how much time you have with someone, you're never going to say everything. There's always going to be regrets about what you did or didn't say. Because we knew he was going to die. And like, I still didn't say.
Yeah, there's, which isn't you said.
That's the thing, is I'm like, I don't even know what I didn't say that I wish I had said. I just sometimes wish I had said more. Like, sometimes I wish I had verbalized all the feelings I had and didn't just wrap them up in I love you. I'm glad that he did the treatments he did and that we had as long as we had with him. I never thanked him for that. I'm sure he knew, but I wish that I had verbally said that. You know, people are really complicated, and I know that my dad was complicated. Humans are complicated. He was never perfect, but like, just... He was just a really fun, loving person, and he knew I loved him. Like, that was not, there was no question there, but I don't know that he like fully knew all the like, you know, you can quantify, I guess, like why you love someone. And I never told him, like, I see myself in you, or like, you're like this, and I think I'm like that because you're like this. Or the fact that, like, you know, I definitely credit my career and the success that I've had to my parents. I especially think that they were really, they made a lot of sacrifices for my sister and I to get where we are. And I don't know that, I'm sure he knew, but I never said that. I don't think. Maybe I did. I don't know. I don't remember saying that to him. So I wish that I had said all those things. But again, like, I try to live without regrets. So every time I'm like, gosh, I said more, I'm like, he knew. Like, I know that he knew. And even if he didn't know, I can tell him, I can put those words out into the universe and hope that he hears them somehow.
So what have you learned about yourself after losing your dad? Who are you?
I think I'm a lot more resilient than I realize. After he passed away, I didn't realize that, like, grief can really put a pause on people's lives in a way that's really detrimental to them. And I only realized that by going to group counseling once. And I was like, I don't want to be like those people. Like, you know, like, yeah, I was like, I really, like, I just felt so much more purpose. Like, I just felt so much more like, I have to do better. I have to, like, do more with myself, because, like, that's what my dad would have wanted. And there are some people that the grief is so much that it stops them from being able to do that. And so I'm glad I fall into that first category, because I think it makes me have a different relationship to death. I'm like probably a little too obsessed with it in some way. Like, I like to talk about it. I like to think about it. I like to think that, like, you know, our spirit still lives on somehow, and like, it's not the final end. I love movies like Coco for that reason. But like, I just realized that I was like a lot more resilient than I thought I was. And that that strength comes from not wanting to disappoint my parents, who like put so much into my life that like, I just feel like I owe them all the time. And I want to like keep being better, doing better for them. I didn't realize that before. I don't know why. I mean, it just gave me more, I think I was like a big floater for so much of my life. I just kind of went with the flow. I was just kind of like doing whatever. And suddenly, like, I just had more purpose after the initial impact of grief, because I wanted to do more for him and for my mom.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. I like this word resilient. Because, like, I think what people told to me after my mother specifically was like, oh, you're so strong. And I didn't feel strong. I felt that I was just sort of making it. Right. And so, like, I like this word resilient, because I do feel resilient, though. So I like this word. And it is about word choice.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to be honest. It is about word choice. Like, all of it, like, right, like, especially after someone's lost someone important to them, right, whether that's a friend or a family member or whatever, or a dog, right, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, I think, but word choice matters. But like, I do feel really resilient. I do feel like I bounce back from a whole lot of shit.
Yeah. So word choice is so important, especially after someone passes away. People said to me after he died, like, oh, he's in a better place. And I wanted to curse everybody out who said that, because I was like, fuck that. What better place? The better place is here with me. Like, it's not beyond this life. Like, to me, a better place with that would have been that he had beat it and we would have had more time together. And I hated when people said that. And so it just makes me think when people lose, and you know, everybody's different. Like, maybe for my mom, that was, I don't know, we've never talked about it, but for her, that may have been comforting. But for me, it wasn't, because I was like, fuck that. Like, I don't want him to die. Like, that's not what I want. That wasn't the end goal that I wanted. Like, I wanted him to beat it. I wanted him to be here. But that's why, like, I am always, I'm so grateful for how much treatment he did to be here for as long as he could. Yeah, I think that's why I don't like when people are like, oh, he lost his battle. I'm like, you know, I don't know what a better way to say that is. Because I think it's actually really brave to say, I've come to the end of this, and to make that choice. And I, you know, I have a friend who passed away 3 years later from a brain tumor, and I feel the same way, where I'm like, that was really brave. Like, that your final journey, whatever it is, whenever you make that decision, especially hospice care, like, to me, that's so brave to make that decision, because so many people think that fighting is braver than saying, I'm at the end of this, and so I'm just going to do this hospice thing and be comfortable and enjoy the time that I have. I think about this every time I have to write a card to someone when they've lost someone, because again, like what we said, like, language is so important. And I hated when people said, oh, he's in a better place. I never want to say that to someone. And so usually I just say, like, I'm thinking about you and your family, and I know how difficult this is. And I usually leave it at that, because I just don't know what more to say. Or usually I'll reflect on my relationship to that person if I've known them. So recently a friend of mine, a really close friend of mine, lost his dad, and listening to him talk about his dad and his eulogy, like, when I wrote his card, that's what I was being reflective on. I was like, you know, to hear you talk about your dad in these ways, I was like, your dad scared me, but, like, to hear you talk about, like, how amazingly kind he was, I knew that. And I knew how much he meant to you. I think that's what it is. It's like, recognizing that that person means so much to that other person is more important than saying, I'm sorry. But being able to say, like, I know how much this person means to you, and I'm just sending you so much love and light and prayer. Like, that's usually what I rely on, because I think that it's neutral enough that, like, someone who would want to hear sorry to hear that is fine with that message, and someone who really didn't want to hear that is also fine with that message. I still think about all the cards and all the letters that I got after my dad passed away, and there's one in particular that I have no idea who the person is, and I saved the envelope because I have no the address doesn't mean anything to me. I've Googled it. And I just think about, like, my dad touched all these people's lives enough that someone who had no idea who this person is was compelled to write this letter, this card to me, like, not even to my mom. It's still so perplexing. And I don't know who the person is. I look at this card every so often, but it's interesting to me, like, that happened.
What'd they write?
I think they wrote sorry to hear that. I think I was like, yeah, I am. Who is this person? But I think they also reflected, if I remember correctly, it was like, you know, I knew something about, like, your dad was a really wonderful person. Like, I'm really sorry to hear that. That was easier to take, I think, at the time than just, like, the blanket, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, isn't it weird? I'm sort of reflecting on like, there's sorry to hear that. And then there's like, sorry to hear that. Yeah. Which are the same fucking words. Which are the same fucking words. But I like that you pointed out like, there's the sorry to hear that where like you as the person saying those words out loud and saying it to the person that's lost is like, you are coming from a 9,000% place of like, I am so sorry to hear that your person is no longer here. And they have like, I've heard sorry to hear that in the interim since my mom has died. And there's some people that I accept that from. And I'm like, they said the most profound thing that I've ever heard. And then there's others where they're like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And I'm like, man, fuck you.
I have that reaction. I'm like, I want to curse you out, punch you in the face. I'd rather hear someone say like, you know, that person sound like your dad sounds like he's really special to you. And I'm really sorry to hear that than just the blanket. I'm sorry to hear that. You know, I think that's where that sorry to hear that comes from, when it comes from a place of like pity. Like, I don't want to hear it like that. Cause like I said, like, I think he is a constant present in my life. So like, I want to be able to talk about him. And yeah, I mean, it sometimes my sister and I will be texting and be like, oh my God, dad would think blah, blah, blah about this thing. And like, I love to be able to do that. It doesn't make me cry. It like makes me happy that someone like, and it's my sisters. Of course we want to talk about it together, but like, I just like, I wish people would take advantage of talking about him or talking about the person that they lost with people. I hope people feel like, you know, and I think that's the one thing that I try to be for my friends or my family when, as they lose people, I'm like, you know, if you want to talk about them, like, I'm happy to do that. Like, I love talking about someone who you love so much. I mean, I think people usually in their grief stay in a state of fog for so long. Like, it's hard to sort of imagine what the fog looks like beyond the fog. I did have that moment of like, am I forgetting what his voice sounded like? Am I forgetting what he looked like? That'll never happen, I don't think. Sometimes I'm surprised when I'm like, it's been 10 years and I still cry. Or the fact that it's even 10 years, it feels like it was so long ago, but also not so long ago. So that's always a weird thing too.
It feels like yesterday, but then like when you like start counting on your fingers, you're like, oh, I've used up all of them.
Yeah. Or I think about how much he's missed in 10 years.
You've been busy in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Less, like, way more busy than I was in the 8 years that he was sick. And that, I'm like, shit, like, that's crazy. But it's not that I don't feel like he wasn't there for those things. That's, like, the weird things. Like, he's with me because I think about him and I love him. So I feel like he has to know. But I'm also like, oh my God, it's been 10 years. Like, that sounds like such a long time. It sounds like such a milestone. For a lot of people, it would be. And I don't want to believe that it's been that long.
This podcast is created, produced, and edited by me, CJ Williams. I'd love if you could take a moment to rate and comment about the show on your favorite listening app, whatever it may be. It really does help a lot. The biggest compliment, of course, would be for you to share your favorite episode with others. Visit the website, sorrytohearpodcast.com. There you can get show notes, sign up for the newsletter, and donate. It'll be much appreciated. I'll see you again in 2 weeks. I'm CJ Williams, and this is Sorry to Hear That.